recorded live. Hey everyone, welcome out to The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky, starring your host with the most, Nick Nitro, and co-host...
Jimmy.
Oh, right, he hit it. For those who don't know, we always start off with emails, so remember, if you have an email you'd like to talk to us about, maybe something on the past show, just make sure you reference what episode we were talking about, because we don't really remember our episodes. Well, actually, we do right now, we only have four. But still, goodbadgeeky@gmail.com, and, I'm going to start off the emails this week, the emails we don't care about, because we actually got an email, and he asked a few questions. Two of them I'm not even going to answer on here. So here's what he says. Nick Knight and Gay Guy. I've doubts you will get this, but hey, as I found your show, I think it's a good show. Thank you. His name is John. Thank you, John. Your parodies are the funny. I saw that you had a webcomic from the GigCast, and I clicked on the link and saw you had some... show called The No Name Program. It's The No Name Show, actually. And thank you for liking the good cast. JT and Scott are great. Okay, he sort of goes on and blah, 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 blah. Here's sort of his question. The openings are the bomb, but what makes you think you do the things you do? Like, you had the show and stuff, but with the movie quote speaking, that opening on the first episode was the only good part of the movie. Vince Vaughn is the funny. I try to understand it the best I can, but pretty much I think what he was asking is that why, like, say, like, last week was TV finales, mm-hmm. why did we open up the episode with the breakup? And well, being that I pretty much mm-hmm. edit the show, for me, at least,
yeah.
I think the first episode we talked about Spider-Man, and I did open up with the Spider-Man quote, and yeah. even this show, we opened up with the Star Wars theme.
Did we open up with the normal Star Wars theme? What did we open up with? Because I don't get to hear it until it airs.
Right. Well, what we do is we record it here on TalkShoe. And then I go back, I sort of clean up any stuff that just doesn't sit well or, you know, disrupts the pace of the show. And then I go ahead and mix it with audio. And I always, like, for some, like, last week, I was watching the breakup on TV, on HBO, and I was like, you know what? Damn, this is the best part of the movie. So I just threw it in there. And I originally was going to put a huge clip from Lost or Desperate Housewives, you know, which I've somehow got acquired. But I just didn't like it. So I just went ahead and recorded the audio from the breakup and posted it on there. And a few of the people that I've talked to that I personally know, they said it went on very long, but they liked it. But it is a good point. It had nothing to do with TV finales or anything. And, like, probably next week, I'll do a quote from some other movie that's been bouncing around in my head. So, you know, of course, Jimmy doesn't get to hear these ahead of time. And so sometimes I'll, like, ask him, did you listen to the show yet? What did you think of the opening? Like, last week... we did the opening, a clip from Scrubs. And I was like, did you like that? Did you like that? And he's like, yeah.
I did like that.
Right, so, yeah. Yeah, and, but,
whatever Nick has a whim to stick before the show.
Right. At one point, I remember last week, I was going to do a clip from, also, like, before I thought, you know what, no, I should stick with TV stuff, and then went back to a movie. I just got the director's cut of That Thing You Do, and I want to get some clip from there and put that in there. And I still might do that eventually. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
John, thank you very much for your email. We appreciate it. By the way, Jimmy is not gay. We make fun of him for, you know,
that's part of what Nick's cleanup does. He goes through and makes sure any part that makes me sound straight, he takes out.
That's true. You know what? That is totally true. Well, because, you know, we don't have a show.
You know, it's that kind of thing. You got to have the guy that you call gay make fun of. And to be perfectly fair, except for my lack of fashion sense, I act gay sometimes. I love musicals. I love that kind of thing. And I've got lots of gay friends. So whatever. I don't care.
And the great part is that he really is actually gay. So, so all right. Well, John, thanks again for your email. We do greatly appreciate it. If you have an email, again, goodbadgeeky@gmail.com. Jimmy, you have an email as well.
I do have an email. It says, "Dear Nick and Jimmy, I really like your show, but I decided not to go with iTunes because I got a different type of MP3 player and I didn't want to download it from iTunes anymore. Where else can I find your show?" Well, I think that's a really great question. There's all kinds of places you can find it. We discovered this week, goofing off, so you can get it
from
your TiVo.
Yeah.
From a TiVo, you can go into the podcast area and look it up. Nick, how do you do that again?
Okay.
So go into the TiVo casts. What do we have typing? Well, it asks for a URL.
Well, first off, there was a point. I sort of left a point out of the last email but you know what? You bring it. It sort of ties into this, though. And he asked something about the No Name Show feed that we had. And I like the features that feed gave us. So what I did was I took off all the No Name shows, and that's now a new Good, the Bad, and the Geeky show. I like Talk Shoe. I like to use the program, but I don't like the RSS feed, that goes on iTunes. And like you said, how do you access the show? Well, being that we now upload all the Good, the Bad, the Geeky shows on the No Name Show feed, what you would need to do is, we couldn't change the URL name, which we're looking into currently, but it would be like, say, if you have a TiVo,
or
you just have another, or if you have other form of the internet, you would type in HTTP, is it semicolon, forward slash?
Not semicolon, it's a colon. Colon.
Just
slash,
the colons. Right, /, no name show .libsyn.com.
Mm-hmm.
And libsyn is spelled libsyn.com/RSS. And Jimmy, we pulled it up on our TiVo. You can't save it on the show, but you can bookmark the actual RSS feed link, and you can listen to shows live on your TiVo. And I'm sure any other internet browser, you can do the same thing as well. So that was something that was actually really good. That was a really good question. That was a great question.
That was from Bert in Sesame, California.
That was from Bert. Well, Bert, again, great question. Thank you very much. And the last
questions have been very serious and real. This is bizarre.
I know. Now, what's up with that, real
email?
I don't know.
actually, the first thing I made up, I just wanted to plug. But cool. Okay, go ahead.
The first
one was legitimate.
The first one was legitimate. Well, okay. Yeah, I'm not going to bring that up. Third email is Dear Jimmy, wow, this is directly at you.
Yay.
And at it.
Is it from Joe in Tallahassee? Because I love him. My favorite fan.
Yeah, it's not Joe from Tallahassee. It's the email is actually from MaxLUR90@AOL.com.
Okay.
He doesn't really leave a name. So I guess we'll call you Max.
He says,
"Jimmy, what new stories do you have working on? I want more Actor's Nightmare."
Oh, that's great.
Take that, man. I don't do anything with Actor's Nightmare. I just read your stories and give my opinion. That's your question, sir.
Well, I appreciate it. Book 3 will be out, we're thinking October 2007. It's still on schedule. I have Actor's Nightmare Book 3 for sale. And then on the website, the final chapter, I guess, part 4 of The Ballad of Tommy and Liz will be posted sometime this month, probably in the next couple of weeks, at www.actorsnightmare.com. I'm also overhauling the website, so in a month or so, hopefully, you'll have the new site up. It'll be...
Oh, really?
It'll be for anything that I'm working on, not just the Actor's Nightmare series anymore.
Are you doing that yourself, or do you get someone else to do it?
No, I am doing it myself, which means it's not going to be as good as if somebody else would do it. But it's a different design than the one I have now, and it'll look more like a business website, I guess, rather than a personal guy did something in his basement, even though I don't do anything in a basement. I don't even go down to a basement. But you know what I mean. You know what
I mean. Yeah, so, I totally know what you mean. Well, that's good, though, because
there'll be another short story in August. I can't remember what I have it planned, but I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. So, but thank you. Yeah, actorsnightmare.com, all your information on my books and stories.
Awesome. Well, Maxwell, UR90, thank you very much for that. We got a big show today. Obviously, it's obviously Star Wars based, but we have, of course, the general news you don't care about, and also we got reviews you don't care about. So let's start off with the news. Jimmy, you have the first bit, something about John Lovitz.
John Lovitz.
I love John Lovitz.
I do too. The Critic, awesome show.
Yes.
He just signed a record-breaking contract. It's for the longest live performance contract ever drafted. He will perform every single Wednesday at the Laugh Factory for the rest of his life. He said that he was hoping for a nice, long engagement. But that's pretty big news. The Laugh Factory is a pretty big, well-renowned place out in Hollywood, and he's going to be there every Wednesday till he dies.
Wow.
I guess he can't
and I wonder until, like, an award-winning movie comes along, and he'd be like, goodbye, I'm going to the movie.
No, because you can just film the movie, and then he has to get out early enough Wednesday to go to a set. It's just a week. It's not a big deal.
Or, he can video record it from his set and then send it, and then they can just play it.
I don't think that's going to work. I don't.
Because then it's like you're waiting for the pause, but then he just keeps going, and so it's like you're laughing and you can't hear him. So
any on-location filming or any vacations he takes, he can't leave till Thursday and has to be back by Tuesday, I guess, or Wednesday morning. That's a big commitment. I don't know if I can commit to every Wednesday for life, but that's pretty darn
true.
I'm sure there's going to be some clause that he can miss a week for certain instances or something. I don't know. What if his, like, child dies on a Wednesday afternoon? You know, that would suck. That's not funny. It's not. But, you know, there's going to be some clause. But, yeah. The point is, nice, long contract. Good for John Lovitz. That's exciting. That's good news.
That's good. And some movie news, which I have some three movie news bits. Chris Nolan, he's director of Memento, great movie, is filming four of the big action sequences in the new Batman sequel, The Dark Knight, with IMAX 70mm cameras, which and one of the scenes includes the actual introduction of the Joker. If anyone's seen Superman Returns in the IMAX, with that, they said it was just amazingly breathtaking. I sadly did not see the IMAX version, but the movie, so I'm sure it'd be amazing. So that's some news for those Batman fans out there. Also, if you do some searching around the internet through the Dark Knight website, you will actually find a picture of Heath Ledger as the Joker. I will say it's a little freaky looking. Also, in other movie news, there will be a Shrek in 4 and 5, but thank God, no more after that. I just really can't pick any more Shrek. That's true.
That.
If 4 and 5 actually do an amazing job, I'm sure Jeffrey Katzenberger will eat his own words and say, oh, Shrek 4 and 5, well, we got up to 10 now. Fuck you, Jeff. We don't need any more. That's me saying it very nicely. I don't know. Shreks are good films, but I just think the third one was really just sort of unneeded.
Well,
yeah.
I haven't seen the third one yet, but I think the second one was better than the first. So I'm going to try to keep an open mind about the third one, even though I hear it's not as good as the first two.
Yeah, and one of the other things that is coming out now is those who are fans of video game movies and have been disappointed by a lot of them, let me just say some of them. Mortal Kombat 2, well, this is not a comic book film, but hell, Event Horizon, which was supposedly good concept, just horribly done. Resident Evil, the Resident Evil movies, which I love the games. I was not fond of the movies. They were just
They're okay. They're nothing like, they're not as much like the games as they should be, but I guess there's a third one coming out. So
there is a third one coming out,
so we'll
but the guy who directed the first
bad.
Two,
mm-hmm.
and he also directed Alien vs. Predator, which I heard wasn't good either, is directing Spy Hunter. Spy Hunter is the game back in the 80s where it was the car, it would fire, and like if you wreck the car, a van comes out and, drops you off and you start driving down the road again. And originally, The Rock was supposed to star in it, but now with Paul W.S. Anderson, the guy who ruins good video game movies, supposedly, he's taking on the project, so we don't know if The Rock's in it or not. So that sort of sucks. Well, that's all the movie news I sort of have. But, Jimmy, you have some actually TV news, which I sort of brought up to you. Let me just say I brought it up to you initially a week ago.
But what you brought up to me was discredited, and then it was recredited, which is what I like.
You're darn right, because I'm right.
But what you had said was discredited. You have to give me that, even though it ended up being true in the end. Nick turned me on to an article a couple weeks ago, with Edward James Olmos, who is the star of Battlestar Galactica, which is
right.
If you've never watched the show, it's like the biggest show in sci-fi channel's history. It's awesome. It gets
even though it has very bad ratings, it's the biggest show in sci-fi.
It doesn't have very bad ratings. It's hugely popular for a cable show, and as far it gets covered in the network TV reviews. I mean, it's big. It's really good. It's the only sci-fi show besides Star Trek that I've ever watched. But it is a very expensive program to make, which is why this news is kind of important. Edward James Olmos said a couple weeks ago that the fourth season that they're filming or getting ready to film will be their last. And that's what Nick pointed out to me. And I'm like, that's crazy. It's the most popular show in Sci-Fi Channel's history. It's their flagship show. How could they cancel it after only four seasons? And then the producers came right out and said, he's wrong. Don't listen to him. Where Sci-Fi Channel put out a press release that discredited his statement. So I got all excited because I'm like, okay, it's already discredited. No big deal. Well, then another release came out this week that said, oh, by the way, it actually is its last season. It's just very expensive to make. It's had a good run, and it has been building towards something, and they're just going to end it while they're still on top, I guess, while they're still very successful. They're doing a two-hour kickoff in November called Razor. I don't know exactly what that's about, but I had heard it rumored that that would be about the other ship, the other Battlestar that they found in season two or whatever. And then in January, their 22-episode fourth season kicks off, January through May. And that will be it for Battlestar. That's going to be it. The fourth season will be the final one. But I know they're going to find Earth like mid-season, not at the end, but middle of the season. So that should be really interesting because they've been looking for the mythical planet Earth. And the 40,000 humans that are left alive, I'm very interested to see what the final season. I'm really disappointed they're canceling it when it is so big and it's still on top. But I guess
fourth season. All good things must come to an end.
I know, but four seasons just doesn't seem like much. But I guess for a cable show, that's pretty long running.
Oh,
Basic cable show. So,
in the last bit of TV news we have, and I'm only going to mention it, and the only reason why I am mentioning it is because, and Jimmy pointed this out to me, every time that an ABC show comes out, they usually start in September, first off. Like, for example, Desperate Housewives this upcoming season is starting again in September. They release the DVD set probably a week or 2 weeks before that. That way fans can instantly buy them, watch the show, and then go, oh, I'm caught up now, in case I did miss it. And they released that Lost and Desperate Housewives. And in the press release I read, they said a third show, but neither of us really watched it, so I didn't really care.
Which show do you remember?
I just said that I didn't remember, Jimmy.
Okay.
And I'm not going to.
You're
going to make me look this up, aren't you?
No, I'm going to look it up. You keep talking about your story.
Oh, all it was is that they're coming out on DVD July 3rd. And wait a minute. Okay. Grey's Anatomy, the complete third season. That's what it is. Never mind.
Really?
I'm sorry. I don't watch that show.
I love that show. I'm disappointed they're holding all Desperate Housewives and Grey's Anatomy because last summer they came out in like September and Lost did too. But I hope, and this is my belief, that they'd hold that so they can put more special features on it because it's not coming back till February anyway.
Well, here's the bonus features on Lost. The World of the Others, these are probably featurettes. The World of the Others, The Secrets and Mysteries of the Others revealed by the cast and producers, Extra Lost Flashbacks, never before seen glimpses into the past lives of some of the castaways not seen in the series, a featurette called Lost in One Day, an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at 24 hours in the life of the series, Lost on Location, behind-the-scenes look at 10 episodes, The Lost Book Club, get hints of the significance of the show's literary references, deleted scenes, bloopers, and, of course, audio commentaries. And the suggested retail price is
$39.99. $59.99.
With $87.99 Canada, which means if you see it lesser than that when it comes out, it means that Best Buy is hoping for some real give and take and that they sell a lot of them to make profit on that. So, so that's pretty much all the news I have on that. So Christmas time, put those shows on your list, Grey's Anatomy, Lost, and Desperate Housewives.
Oh, they will be.
They
will be.
Yeah.
Well, I don't own any of the Desperate Housewives DVDs yet, but I enjoy the show. I do own the first two seasons of both Grey's Anatomy and Lost, so they will be on my list.
Okay, well, Jimmy, you probably thought the movie was a lot better than I did, so let's kick
into it. I loved the movie. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
At
World's End. You're like the third person who said, oh, yeah, it's called Dead Man's Chest. I'm like, no.
Well, because it was about the Dead Man's Chest just as much as the second one was about. But I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was action-packed. The people that said they were confused, I'm like, just pay attention. They explain. The nine pieces of eight weren't really pieces of eight. They were just nine pieces of whatever the hell they had in their pocket. That was what they explained that. That's what was confusing people, and I'm like, okay, whatever. But it was extremely well acted. Keira Knightley got to be the Pirate King. Orlando Bloom got knocked off and took over Davy Jones' spot, the whole Calypso thing. But, Keith Richards' cameo, the huge action sequence with the wedding thrown into the fight, it was just awesome. Jeffrey Rush delivered a fantastic performance as Barbossa. I know Johnny Depp and Jeffrey Rush are both interested in doing a fourth movie, so they probably will do one. But, yeah, I loved it. I don't know what the beef was with people who didn't like the movie. I thought it was awesome.
I thought it was just very long and boring. And, okay, I suffered through, I have a thing with people is, my thing is with people is that when I say, hey, I really love the movie, I want to see it again, usually when I tell most people, now if I tell Jimmy, Jimmy's like, cool, let's see it again, or well, you can see it again, I'll see it for the first time. But other people are mostly like, oh, you already seen it, I don't want to see something you've already seen. Mm-hmm. But if I really want to see it again, why would you fucking say that? I just said I want to see it again. Anyway, this one girl wanted to go see Pirates 3 with me, and I said, and her friend, and I said, you know what? I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to say a word about it. So I'm going to publicly say that I did see it ahead of time. Sorry. But the fact of the matter was, is I really just did not want to see the movie again, and I hoped and prayed that we would see Knocked Up or something. But
I want to see that. We need to see Knocked Up this week so we can review it for next week. It looks good.
Yeah, it does look good. But I just remember the entire time, and I felt that she and her friend would really get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But at the end of the day, I just remembered there was some kid kicking the both of us, her and my feet in the back. And when her friend was like, so what do you think of the movie? We both go, sort of neat opening, boring, kid kicking us up in the back. They finally show Jack Sparrow, boring.
Jack Sparrow introduction with lots and lots of Jack Sparrows was my least favorite part of the entire movie.
That was your least favorite part?
It really was. Normally Jack has this great entrance, and that all the Jacks running around I thought was stupid. But then they made it up by having him come over the sand dune in the boat with the crabs, and that was his big entrance.
See, I thought that was actually the best part of the movie.
I completely disagree. That was the only part I started to get bored, was all the Jack Sparrows and stuff. I'm like, this is dumb. And then it picked right back up again.
Well, that's I can't see that. The movie was good. I don't want to say the movie's bad, but overall, for a summer blockbuster film that we're supposed to want to pay money to see over and over again,
mm-hmm.
I was bored.
Oh, I'd see it again. Definitely.
I do not want to openly see it again. I do not. And
I do.
The second time was a lot worse.
Really? I did
yeah.
see the first two twice. I've only seen this one once, but I would love to go see it again. I thought it was great.
Well, anyone out there who lives in the Ohio area and you want to go see a sucky movie with Jimmy, you just give Jimmy
email
a ring-a-ding-dang.
Email me at goodbadgeeky@gmail.com and look
at
something up.
He's actually going for it. He's like, yeah, I really want to go see this movie again.
Especially if you're a cute single girl, you know.
Yes, Jimmy. Wow. Bringing up an old thing from the No Name show, yeah. But, yeah, God. So you also saw two TV shows, either finales. One of them is a finale. The other one is just a show.
Uh-huh.
You saw Kevin Constantino in Boston Legal. What do you have to say about
that? I wanted to plug again the Kitchen Confidential DVD. I plugged during news last week, but I did watch it. And it was great. I'm still mad they only aired four episodes because that show was fantastically brilliant. And especially when the five episodes that had Becky in it. The girl that played Becky was the girl who starred opposite Rob Corddry in The Winner this past spring, which means that she was on two shows that got canned right away, which I love The Winner, too. But Kitchen Confidential was really good. Very funny. Bradley Cooper was great. Nicholas Brendon was great. The whole cast was great. I'm so disappointed it got canceled so quickly. But all 13 episodes were fantastic. I highly recommend the DVD. There's really not much special feature to talk to. There was like a thing where they got the cast back together and they talked about doing the show and how much fun they had. That was kind of cool. And then there are a couple audio commentaries, but I didn't listen to them yet. But yeah, I really enjoyed the DVD, loved it, thought it was great. Highly recommend Kitchen Confidential. Great show, even though they only aired four episodes. There are 13 on the DVD. And then I want to talk about Boston Legal because
of course.
They aired their season finale this past week. So it did not air in time to make it onto our finale spectacular, but I watched the last four episodes yesterday. And really good, really good. I hope they definitely bring Christian Clemenson back as a main character for next season. If you're familiar with the show, he plays Jerry Espenson, Hans. He's been on the show quite a few times. He's been on like the last six episodes. But he was the very socially awkward guy with Asperger's that got fired after he pulled a knife
on Cannonsburg. Okay.
And he's been back as a high-powered lawyer, and he started to get successful when he created this new persona for himself, but then he kind of got over it. Well, at the beginning of the next last episode, he comes in and asks for his job back, asks Candace Bergen. And she's, like, on the verge of forgiving him for pulling the knife on her, and she's considering it. And he's like, you're really considering this? And she's like, yeah, I kind of am. And he's like, that makes me want to have a song in my heart. And she's like, really? Would you hum a few bars of the song for me? And he's like, sure. Bum, bum, da 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 da. He starts doing the theme song. And so they had his voice over the entire theme song, and every other scene, instead of just showing the characters, had him singing it, which was awesome. So that was really clever and neat. Hopefully he'll be part of the theme song, as because his actor's name was not added to the theme song. He was just singing it for the other actors. But he did get rehired at the law firm, so that's why I'm hoping that he will be a main character come next season. Especially, and then the final episode, he teamed up with the other sexually awkward character they added this season named Clarence, who also is Clarice and Oprah and several other personalities when he wants to be very large guy. He was in the trying to think what he's been in. He was in the movie Undercover Brother as Smart Brother.
Wait a minute. What was his name again?
I can't remember the actor's name. Gary Cooper Anderson or something like that. I don't know. But he was in Undercover Brother. He's been in lots of stuff, but I can't remember what they are off the top of my head. He was added as the main character mid-season this season because he was a reoccurring character.
Oh, yeah. He was in House for a bit. He was also in The Frighteners and a few other films. I know who you're talking about. He was in The Terminal.
Yeah, him and Jerry teamed up this week and totally won a case. It was a really big, good Denny Allen episode, as most of their season finales are. Just the last couple episodes, Denny's been realizing that he's old. And this is the first time in the series that Denny's acknowledging that he is losing his touch, William Shatner. Because he's, you know, the legend, Denny Crane, undefeated, all that stuff. And they actually are dealing with him starting to realize that he's not the Denny Crane he once was, which is really pretty cool. I don't think he'll be off the show anytime soon, but we may see a slow descent of Denny. I mean, we've already seen a descent of Denny, but we may see a, you know, going towards something, I think, by the end of the series, if William Shatner doesn't die off first. Which is sad, but he just looks so unhealthy, except, you know, they are putting him in a race car here this summer for some reality show, so he must not be that old and unfeeble as he sometimes acts. But yeah, they had a really great moment on the porch. They always end the episode with them on the balcony, Alan and Denny. And Denny was having a heart-to-heart with Alan. And he's like, you know, do you think it's odd that two grown men still have sleepovers? Because they have sleepovers with each other. That was cute. And he's like, no. And Alan, you know, beefed him back up, made him feel good about himself. And that's what their friendship's all about. And he's like, I'm just getting started. They're like, you think next season will be good? Because sometimes they reference with their TV show, which is funny. He's like, oh, yes, next season's going to be great. They're like, I'm just getting started. So we'll see what happens with Denny Crane next season.
That's good. So the show ended well. Kitchen Confidential on DVD, get it now. Me and Jimmy are split right down the middle on Pirates. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and we're not going to actually hear this now, but for those who listen, when we upload the full edited version, you'll hear a lovely little ditty called Yoda. So we'll be right back.
Oh, you're not doing the other Weird Al thing?
I'm going to do Yoda. I like the episode one, The Story Begins, but Yoda's
a superior song. I agree. Go with Yoda.
Well, I mean it's superior. You're also talking about which are better films, the first three? And
we'll
I say first three
episode.
As in the first
we'll
three episodes
episode.
Or the second three. Right, which we will. But I'm going with the classic trilogy, you know, the sacred
Sounds
trilogy.
Good. Go with
so we'll be right back right after this.
The whole set, it's true story.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
You made it come out of my nose.
Go for Papa Palpatine.
You have a collect call from
Darth Vader.
I gotta take this, hold on. Vader, how's my favorite Sith? Whoa, 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 just slow down. Huh? What do you mean they blew up the Death Star? Who's they? What the hell is an aluminum falcon? Okay, so who's left? Are you me? Well, where are you? Wait a sec, you've been flying around for 2 weeks trying to get a signal? Oh, you must smell like feet wrapped in leathery burnt bacon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought my Dark Lord of the Sith could protect a small thermal exhaust port that's only 2 meters wide. That thing wasn't even fully paid off yet. Do you have any idea what this is going to do to my credit? hang on. I got another call. What? I'm very busy right now.
Well, where are they going? Huh. All right. Just get me a turkey club. Coleslaw, I guess. I'm not even going to eat it. What are you getting? Yeah, see, I always order the wrong thing. No, I'll just stick with that. Okay, bye. Wait, what? Oh, Cherry Coke. Thanks. Sorry about that. What?
Oh, just rebuild it? Oh, that's a real f***ing original. And who's gonna give me a loan, Jackhole? You? You got an ATM on that torso light bright? Now get your 7'2" asthmatic ass back here, or I'm gonna tell everyone what a whiny bitch you were about Potamame or Panda Bear or whatever the hell her name is.
Oh, jeez, he's crying. Hey, come on, don't do that. I'm just dealing with a lot of crap right now. Death Star blown up by a bunch of f***ing teenagers, you know? I didn't mean to snap. Just get back here. Okay, bye. I love you too.
I met him in a swamp down in Dagobah, where it bubbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda. S-O-D-A soda. I saw the little runt sitting there on a log. I asked him his name and in a raspy voice he said Yoda. Y-O-D-A Yoda. Yo-yo-yo-yo-yo. But he's wrinkled and green. Oh my Yoda, yo 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 Yoda. Well, I'm not dumb, but I can't understand how he can lift me in the air just by raising his hand. Oh my Yoda, yo 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 Yoda, yo 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 Yoda. Well, I left home just a week before.
Yeah.
Well, before we start, though, I have to say, Luke, stay away from the darker side, and if you do go astray, let the Force be your guide.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
I know. 3, 2, 1. All right, we're back. Welcome back to the good, the bad, and the geeky. I did an oxymoron there. I said welcome. I said the word back 2 times, 3 times now. So that was Yoda by Weird Al Yankovic. And between the break there, I did a...
Do it or not, there is no try.
Okay, I had to do it there. Okay, enough imitation.
God bless Frank Oz. Go Frank.
Oz Frank? Is that what you just called him?
Frank Oz. You know, Yoda was in 5 of the 6 movies. Which actor has been in all 6 movies?
Wait. Obi-Wan, wait a minute, what actor?
Which actor has been in all 6 movies? Only...
Kenny Baker.
Actually, there's 2 of them, but yes, Kenny Baker and...
Geez, I see, you're surprising me with this. Not David Prowse, the guy who plays Chewbacca.
Nope, Chewbacca was only in 4 of them.
Oh, shit, I have no idea.
You with your R2-D2 knowledge, but who's the other?
Well, I mean, that's... Oh, Anthony Daniels.
Exactly. C-3PO.
The droids were in all.
The droids are the factors that pull the whole series together.
Well, you completely forget that episode 1, Anthony Daniels, who's the voice of C-3PO in that movie, he doesn't really do the body movement. So my mind was out of place for that. And I thought, well... R2-D2's been in all of them, and I should have thought, well, R2-D2 does, C-3PO, but...
Exactly.
The
best part of that series, so...
Yeah.
Well, Yoda's darn cool, too.
Well, Yoda's awesome. Before we awesome. Kick off, for those who don't know, we're doing a Star Wars-based show, and we got some news to cover. May 25th, 1977, that's 30 years ago, 30 years ago, 6 days ago, was the 30th anniversary of Star Wars, and at the Star Wars celebration, they announced the new CGI cartoon for Clone Wars. So check out StarWars.com. You can see a trailer of it. It looks actually sort of cool. They're using the Genndy Tartakovsky sort of style that they use. It looks very cool.
I did see part of the other Clone Wars that they've done in the past, and I really enjoyed it. Really good.
Yeah, so take the animation style, add it to CGI effect, and that's what the new show is going to be about. And apparently, Lucas is very involved, which is a blessing and a curse. Right. Well, yeah. He's
could
good
go
as
way.
Someone who sits behind the
way.
Sidelines, you know, as we witness in all 6 films. Let's get down to what we were going to discuss a little bit ago. Which trilogy do you like better, Jimmy? Do you like the first 3 episodes, or do you like the last 3 episodes, the ones that came out first?
I like episodes 4, 5, and 6 better.
I agree. Episodes 1, 2, 3 are horrible. And what is your take on why that is? And obviously there's the reason that you don't obviously love Star Wars as much as everybody. But say if you did open up your heart and fully accepted the Force.
Well, they're good movies. I'm not saying they're not good movies. I just think they're overhyped and too idolized at some points, because it just seemed forever like there weren't tons of Star Wars fans. And then the new movies came out, and they all came out of the woodworks and pretended that it was awesome, and they've always been huge fans and stuff, and I'm like, I don't think so. I just don't like that. I think it's overhyped. But the episodes 4, 5, and 6, they're more action-packed, they're more exciting, they're just original. Episodes 1, 2, and 3, they're kind of long and dry and boring at a lot of times.
Yeah, they are.
And they're just not... They're not good like the first 3 were. I don't know, I think Lucas lost his touch, I really do. I'm hoping he won't screw up Indy 4, but I don't know.
I agree. I've
had a lot less respect for Lucas after those episodes 1, 2, and 3, and now I guess he's going to do episodes 7, 8, and 9, is the rumor, that after he does Indy, he's going to move
Actually,
on.
Actually, they denied that at the Star Wars convention, because apparently like a day before they were saying that.
Yeah, they had been saying that. And he had said before, after episode 3 was done, that he didn't want to make them himself, but he might consent to, like, write up a treatment and let somebody else make them. So, I really would be surprised if in our lifetime there is no episode 7 and 9. I would be extremely surprised. I think if Lucas doesn't make it when Lucas dies, somebody else is going to make it. You know, I think it will get made.
I hope Lucas dies and Spielberg can
I don't think Spielberg
I don't mean
do
that
it.
With any disrespect.
I don't think Spielberg will do it, though. I'm thinking more like Lucas' son will probably do it, and I don't know about that. I've got mixed feelings. I just hope they're not, whoever does it, I just hope they're not screwed up terribly. I hope they're good. Like episodes 4, 5, and 6 were good.
Well, someone in the room here, because I'm sort of, where's all, I'm sort of talking and talking in the room at the same time, because we have two people in the room. And
yes,
some of their comments, one of their comments was, I think the Unlabeled says, I think the problem is the lightsaber battles, where they would have to be crap again. But see, that's the thing, though. The lightsaber battles were not crap.
Especially the Yoda one in episode 2, that was awesome.
No, he's talking about I think he's contrasting, though, the ones that in the first trilogy and the second trilogy, or the first three episodes and the last three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, the last three episodes, they're more classic sword fighting, the more actual, like, Errol Flynn,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind
yeah.
of thing. But episode 1 through 3 was more like samurai, like, serious sword play. And the beauty is you can accept the fact that Luke is not well established as a lightsaber, you know, handler, and Darth as well, he's a machine. But the
mm-hmm.
fact is it has a more epic grace to it of like a classic film, while the new film, they try to make it cooler by adding all these like three swords going off at once and all this and other thing. And, you know,
the lightsaber battles were okay in the second trilogy.
I will admit, they were good.
They were better than most of the movie was.
Yes, they actually added
some of the best parts of the movie, yeah.
Right. Well, my problem was that, okay, let me ask this. Out of all of the first three films, which were your favorite? I mean the first three episodes.
Episodes 4, 5, and 6?
No, I mean episodes 1, 2, 3. If you had to put them in order.
That's hard, because they all run together for me. I mean, episodes 1, 2, and 3 are definitely different than episodes 4, 5, and 6, but the two trilogies kind of run together to me, and I have real problems sorting out what happened in which. Which I know I shouldn't, but I do. I'm sorry. I apologize for those of you who are, you know, rolling their eyes right now in disgust at me, but they do run together. I don't know. I guess the best part of the episodes 1, 2, and 3 for me was the big Yoda battle at the end of episode 2. The Yoda battle at the end of episode 3 seemed stupid because we knew him and the Emperor, neither one was going to die, and there was nothing at stake, which kind of ruined that battle for me. But, I mean, we knew the outcome. That's, I guess, kind of what ruined episode 3 for me, was I already knew how everything was going to end. You know, there was no surprise. There were no stakes. We knew exactly who was going to die and who was going to live and who was going to do what. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. I mean, we knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, I mean, for all we know, Yoda could have been victorious at that battle. But
no
then,
way.
With the Emperor. Not victorious as in he killed the Emperor. I mean
I disagree.
That
we know the Emperor rose in power, and that would lead to a whole other story if Yoda would have won that battle.
Yeah, but you can win a battle but still lose the war.
I think that they would have had to do another story about how Yoda
because,
was
okay,
defeated.
In the battle between Mace... Well, let me answer this, though. In
mm-hmm.
the battle between just Mace Windu
mm-hmm.
and Emperor Palpatine, who won? Not including Anakin in the equation. Who won that battle? Not the war. Obviously, Mace
mm-hmm.
Windu fucking died because
right.
he's a pussy.
But that wasn't the end of the movie. I mean, the end of episode 3.
Wasn't, but
was
the,
coming
but,
to
that,
a head.
That's what I'm saying. Who
right.
who won that battle? Mace won.
Right. But
right. Well, okay,
we knew
who
that
won
was
the battle
a temporary
between...
victory. We knew that he was going to go off and get killed by the end of the movie. So it was
okay. Yes, we did. Yes,
so
he did. He got punked. But what I'm saying, though, is about the Yoda thing is that Yoda, for all we know of, that would have been like a huge surprise at the end of the movie, is that Yoda could have defeated the Emperor in battle, and then just like Anakin came in the Mace Windu thing, Yoda would have to retreat because, say, like the stormtroopers, whatever, would come in, and he can't fight all of them. That is what I'm saying. He could have still had a different outcome.
But they didn't.
Were...
They went with the obvious, the one that everybody expected, and it was
completely...
Well,
I still thought it was cool, because you don't have Lucas doing it. You have Steven Spielberg directing that.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool, but it wasn't as cool as it could have been. I was disappointed, because I expected them to throw something in there exciting and new, and to me, it felt like I've already heard this story, even though I hadn't seen it.
The order that I would put them in is I would put... Three first, episode
two,
three.
No, episode two definitely. But
episode two is. I think episode two is horrible.
I think it was the best of the three, mostly because of the Yoda battle and stuff.
Okay, I remember walking out of the first movie and I went, "Well, that is sort of depressing."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't live up to my expectations.
Well, no. You didn't live up to today's expectations.
I thought, you know what, though? They have a good thing. They're setting everything up, so I'm sort of excited about that. And then episode 2 came out, and I thought the cast was great, but I thought the way Lucas directed Hayden Christensen was horrible.
Well, Hayden Christensen can't act. I think most people would acknowledge that.
He can act.
He does the angst. That's about all he can do. And don't get me wrong. He's
No. Okay,
stuff.
Sure.
Life
I totally
house,
disagree
I
with that.
I love Life as a House, but I don't think Hayden Christensen can act. I think he can brood, and that's about it.
When he broods, are you talking about like Dave, Angel, the act that show Angel kind of brooding? Or are you talking about Jimmy, when I look at you, you're the atypical nerd in terms of looks. You have the glasses, you have sort of the frumpy hair, and if I was a lot skinnier, I probably didn't wear glasses. I would too.
My hair's not frumpy. My hair's nice now. I got it cut.
Okay. If you ever get the chance, watch the movie Shattered Glass. He does a bit of the brooding thing, but it doesn't seem like normal brooding.
Mm-hmm.
That movie actually made me take credit for what he can do. As
okay.
an actor. I've never seen Life as a House, so I can't judge that.
That was a great movie, but again, it was mostly him brooding. He did get to show a little emotion and stuff, and, you know, he was effective in that role, but that role seemed tailored for him. I don't think he can play a wide range of things. And maybe he can, maybe I just haven't seen it.
Remember walking out of episode 2 going, I paid $9 to see this. I feel like I wasted all my money except for the last 5 minutes, which is the Yoda fight.
Well,
left
me with the good taste in my mouth. It did.
It left me with the horrible taste because I felt like I got robbed. Like the first movie, I was disappointed, but I didn't feel robbed. The third movie was it was really boring up until the end for me. I mean,
okay.
I just do not. I mean, also the thing is too is that. I listen to DVD commentaries. If you listen, watch episode 3, there is a bad guy called General Grievous. He's a giant droid.
Yeah.
And he's a cool-looking character.
Mm-hmm.
No development whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
No development whatsoever.
That's
and
true.
His whole thing was I just remember like listening to the commentary, and Lucas was like, the General Grievous character, he's a metaphor for Anakin turning into Darth Vader. And I just
In what way?
Because, exactly. Exactly. And it's just like, are you kidding me?
Well, obviously, yes, he was.
But
now, even Lucas makes fun of his own movies, so.
He does.
I'm going to make fun of The Phantom Menace. I haven't heard him make fun of the second and third one. But
no. But here's the thing. He's not a normal android. That was the whole point, is that Lucas established that at some point he had been an alien life form that got dismantled so badly, like Anakin does, that he becomes what General Grievous is. He becomes a droid-like android.
I did not get that from the story.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. And you're just like, okay, and this is my other problem with the first three episodes, is that in the first – okay, granted, I know Emperor Palpatine is not supposed to – the Emperor is not supposed to be seen as a bad guy. He's the Phantom Menace. Oh, I know that. But if you watch episodes 4, 5, and 6, what is the one common unifying bad guy in that movie, in those movies that you physically see?
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. If my opinion, if you would have put General Grievous in the first movie and show him getting very slowly chopped down until he is nothing but what he is in that last movie, and make it show that he's not really a threat until that last movie, he apparently is. And, it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, though, Lucas, he just doesn't see that. He has to, because he feels kids today need to have a new villain every other episode. New villain, new villain, new villain.
Yeah, and Palpatine was the villain for the entire 6 movies thus far, but he has operated very much in the shadows for most of it.
Right, but that's the thing, like, really, though, if you, like, when I remember when I was younger, when I watched the first episode, or episode 4, I don't even remember them ever mentioning the Emperor, I should say. Now, if I go back now and watch it, I go, there's the Emperor, he mentioned the Emperor.
Yeah.
And then episode 5... you sort of see the Emperor, but not really. And then in episode 6, you actually really see.
Well, he's in the shadows. They don't want him to be seen. He knows that if he is seen, he'll be cut down. And when he finally is seen, that's what happens. He dies. So.
Right. Right. And well, I mean, no, that's good. That's closure for the episode and all that. But I'm just saying that that was a big problem, I think, with episode 1-3. There was no common overall theme that made people go, okay, this is the threat we have to look forward to. Every movie, Darth Vader was there. Even
was
when
good.
He, at the end of the fifth one, he showed that, hey, I'm your father.
It
join
was
me.
Episodes 1, 2, and 3 was the growing power of the Empire and the failing of the Rebel Alliance. Or whatever. I guess they're not even the Rebel Alliance. They were, I don't know what they were. They became the Rebel Alliance in episodes 4, 5, and 6. But it was the slow deterioration of this Empire as it was taken over. There didn't need to be one guy that they had to fight, you know?
Right, but I think it would have made it a lot more easier to, I don't know, like, it would have been a lot more exciting, I think, if they had one more character in the forefront besides, because, yeah.
He wouldn't have been able to be defeated, which would have been disappointing, because it had to have been the Emperor.
No, you would still have the Emperor in the background. He would still be doing, that's the thing, you don't change the role.
You just think the Emperor should have another lieutenant like he did Darth Vader.
Yes.
Which, okay.
Okay, like, so you still have the Sith Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have Mace, you are not Mace, you have Darth Maul. You even have Count Dooku.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't, well, not really a Padawan, unlabeled. I'm really talking about more like a front man to run everything.
I see.
Not
I
like
see.
This. Yeah, because in the movies, it's the Trade Federation, but you
right.
would figure that you would have some other pawn that would be a menace besides just
right.
you and your hologram that you
like
send
instead
over.
Instead of
not
Darth Maul in episode 1 and General Grievous in episode 6 or 3 and whoever was episode 5, I get you.
Right, yeah, that's all I'm saying. So, like, you really would have three bad guys. So,
okay, I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah, I agree.
So, I you know, everyone gives Jar Jar Binks a hard time. I don't like the character. I don't think he's funny either, let me just say this. Yeah, I know. But Jar Jar Binks played his part, and he played it well. I just think people should give episode 1 a little bit more for credit. That's all I'm going to say on episode 1. Now, episode 4, 5, and 6, I think they're wonderful pieces of film, and it's a good story, you know.
Yeah.
It's not something that where, you know, everything is a little bit more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And also
yeah.
it sets up a great mythology. It uses a great mythology based now see, now wait a minute. Jar Jar was not useless. Because one of the people in the room said Jar Jar was a useless character. In terms of what he did in episode. No. You do not put Jar Jar in Star Wars 4. That would not work, sir. He became a senator, but what did he do? He's the one that motioned that Palpatine be granted the Senate.
Yeah.
Right, so in that way, he is not a useless character.
You're right, he helped the Emperor take over.
Right, so I...
He was played as the fool that he is.
Exactly. He's the reason why all these movies fucking happen, because Jar Jar, a useless character, I guess.
Yes.
That was a big bombad mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he did need Jar Jar in a way, though. That's the thing I'm trying to say, because... He's saying the Emperor didn't need Jar Jar. I think he did need Jar Jar. He needed that stupid character in there to get things moving, because Jar Jar is going to be around, what's her name, Padme,
because mm-hmm.
they live in the same planet. And where is she always talking to? She's talking to Palpatine. He did disappear in episode 2, but, you know.
Yes.
Well, check out episodes 4, 5, and 6. They're the best of the trilogy, I think. And then episodes 1-3, 3 is the best in my opinion, at least for the ending, but that's me. Jimmy, you said 2 was your favorite out of the first?
Of the first, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, the
first
trilogy, so to speak. And then what was your favorite one out of the second trilogy, or the original films?
Like I said, they all kind of blur together to me. I haven't seen them in at least 10 years, if not longer, so I couldn't tell you right now which one would be the best.
Blasphemy, sir, blasphemy.
Sorry.
But that's okay. Now, I would love to sometime, and Jimmy refuses to, and we're not going to get into it, at least today, because the show is pretty much over, but I would love to get into an actual Star Wars, Star Trek conversation.
It's been done so many times, and I
feel
there's no contest. I really feel Star Trek hands down wins that. However, it's just been done so many times, you know?
How do you think it's better, though? I mean, how do you think it wins hands down?
Oh, a million ways. In every conceivable way, really. Really.
Star Trek looks good. It has a great cast, but the stories aren't, to me...
Now, I would totally disagree if you're going to diss the stories. Totally.
I don't know. Like, what overall themes that really hit, that appeal to everybody...
Star Trek was about the betterment of mankind and that we could rise and overcome. And, you know, Star Wars happened in a galaxy far... Oh, the first original Star Trek was all about racism and things in society and what was acceptable and what wasn't, and peace and love in mankind. It was a very utopian view of the future.
Okay.
And it continued through that. And yes, that, of course, would get boring after a while, but, you know, they were always the good one, but that's why they did Deep Space Nine, which I still think was the best series, where they actually showed the darker side of what's going on the fringes to allow that utopian society to exist in the middle. And but we'll get into that. We'll have a Star Trek themed episode. I guess this year we totally missed the boat on that because last year was the 40th anniversary of Star Trek.
Maybe
in September or something, or August, maybe this summer we'll do a salute to Star Trek since, yeah.
Fair enough. And as Unlabeled would say, Star Trek helped thousands of geeks not get laid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you know what, though? Respectively, so did Star Wars. So let's end the show on that sort of happy, promising note. If you have an email about what we said today, like if you love Star Wars, hate Star Wars, what was your favorite episode on the Star Wars saga?
Or
go
you
ahead,
want to send
hit
a little support of Star Trek.
Yeah, sort of that too.
Me.
If you do like Star Trek, I will admit I like the Star Trek movies. goodbadgeeky@gmail.com. Throw a little love at me and Jimmy. Again, it's goodbadgeeky@gmail.com. And also, the next week, we're not sure exactly of a time just yet, but the episode that we're doing is called The Future of the Television Landscape. It's where we talk about the changes that's affecting television today, like the new resources available to us, like the internet is the big one, iTunes, which is a part of the internet, I guess.
The changing television seasons, the way the networks handle things. Yeah, we've got large discussion. And there'll probably be a few reviews of whatever I end up getting to this week. There are some shows I want to cover that either already finished airing or a couple of summer shows.
Oh, right. Well, Sopranos, we'll probably talk about the second to last episode.
Did you hear they
Sopranos.
Added a new cast member for Heroes from The Sopranos?
Yes, I did. She was also in X-Men 3.
Yes,
so, but again, we'll talk about that more next week where
mm-hmm.
we have a little bit more information
mm-hmm.
that we can present live to you. So, and again, Nathan should have shown up. We don't know what happened. So
maybe
next time. Hopefully next time. But again, everyone, thanks for listening. And remember, for those who came in the room and chatted with me while we were doing the show, Nato Basso and Unlabeled 00, thank you guys once again. Again, if you want to listen to us, we try to do the show every Sunday. Just check our web space at talkshoe.com and see when we do the next show so you can hop in. And if you can't listen or talk to us, just chat.
If you would like to be notified of all airtimes, please email goodbaggeeky@gmail.com. We'll set up something for you so you can email notifications.
We have an option to invite people out when we do a new show update.
So if you do want to be notified every time we have a show, give us a little line at goodbaggeeky@gmail.com and we'll make sure you get that information.
Yeah, make sure you give us a valid email. We'll go ahead and update that. And thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Get out of here with that! Jeez! You're a creep! Go away! We're having a good time until you start up, jeepers! Go have some coffee with cream or something! Because I'll tell you something! This is a happy place!